Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Chameleoner Chris. It's good to be back. I, of course, have with me these fine two gentlemen. I, of course, have Mason with Rad Dreams Review.
What's up?
And the good old Devin or Darkness Tiger.
Thank you, Chris. I'm neither fine nor am I that much of a gentleman, but I appreciate it.
Hey, I'll take the gentlemanly comments whenever I can get them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, guys, it's been a great week.
Gaming. Oh my gosh, there's been a ton of news.
Tremendous.
Like. A lot. Massive. We're not going to be able to cover everything that has happened in the past week in just this one episode, but we will definitely try our best.
Yeah, because it feels like for a good period of time, we're actually going to be playing catch up because there's just so much news.
Yeah. Like, it's so crazy because, like, for a while, there wasn't too much, and now all of a sudden, it's just like the floodgates have opened.
And no one's turning off the spout.
No. Like, We're gonna need some flex tape just to cover up all of this.
Yeah, big time, big time. Well, let's hop into it a little bit. So, Mason, what have you been playing this past week?
So let's see, what have I been playing? There hasn't actually been a whole heck of a lot that I've been personally playing, because I've been slammed with work as well as things with the house and like things with the holidays coming up. So I haven't really been gaming too much. I did spend a majority of my time like last week just watching the Game Awards and catching up with all like the gaming news with that. So like the only game I had a moment really to play was the Pokemon Shining Diamond, and that's about it.
Awesome. Yeah, this time of year can be insanely busy.
So
I'm with you there. Devin, what have you been up to, man?
For me, it's just been playing the two highest ranked Xbox games, Forza Horizon 5 as well as Halo Infinite. I'm just getting into the story mode of Halo Infinite, and it is bringing back a whole lot of memories. It's quite fun. It's entertaining. It's action filled. Now, in my other bits of free time, I've actually been watching the Xbox documentary series that's on YouTube.
Very nice.
Yeah, they released the docuseries a couple days ago, and it's completely on YouTube. It's, I believe, 6 parts, and it is very entertaining. It tells the entire story, and it really doesn't hold back. So I've been spending my free time just kind of like watching and just actually watching the documentary, just like, didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
That explains that. And it's very entertaining. If you get the opportunity, please check it out.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Yeah. Came out. Go ahead.
Before I forget, Chris and Devin, there was one thing I wanted to mention that I did end up doing this past week, and that was I started watching a new anime. So that's been a lot of fun. Very different. I'm looking forward to finishing it. And that's about the only thing I wanted to mention.
What's the name of the anime?
All right, so there's 3 different ones I've been watching, but the main one is called I Was Banished from the Hero's Party. So essentially, like, the Cliff Notes version of what this show is about, it's a straight fantasy anime, and what's kind of interesting about it is that it takes this guy who is in the main hero's party to defeat, like, the Demon Lord, and he gets banished from it, and he's just like, you know what? I'm going to live a quiet life on the countryside and be an apothecary and just kind of chill. It's really just, it's a relaxing show.
Yeah, that's like, actually comical.
Like, it is kind of comedy centric, but it's kind of like, not high stakes. And there's like, there is action, but it's kind of like menial. It's not like do or die, end of the world shenanigans. You're just watching this dude run his shop in the countryside with this girl that he loves and wants to get with. And you just get to see them experience like chill life. And it's just kind of like homey. And like, you can just kind of lay back on your couch and just be like, you know what? This is kind of nice. This is relaxing.
Heck yeah. Heck
it's
yeah.
Weird. Like, weird.
Those type of animes are good to watch every now and then.
But yeah, then the other two, one's called Mushoku Tensei, which is called Jobless Reincarnation. That anime is amazing, and I highly recommend anybody who's listening to this watch it. Very solid show. You can watch it on Hulu right now, so check it out. Very good.
All right, awesome.
Good stuff. And then the last one is called I Was Reincarnated as a Assassin Aristocrat or something or other. It's got some weird title to it, but it's actually halfway decent.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's me.
Yeah, Chris, but what have you been up to? What have you been playing?
So my main game I've been playing is Tale or Tales of Arise.
Yes.
It's very good. Very good story. I'm not a fan of the combat, but it's fine. It's like, it's not the greatest combat system, but it's okay. But the story is fantastic. Very, very good so far.
Yeah,
so.
I hear nothing but good things about that game.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely worth picking up. I caught it on sale, so
nice.
Perfect time to grab it. And then, of course, some Dead by Daylight.
Did you see the news about Dead by Daylight?
Yes. The Ring is coming to Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, Sadako, or in the English version, I believe her name was, Samara?
I don't even remember.
It's been so long since I've watched both the English and Japanese versions of The Ring, like, I forget these characters' names. Right. I do remember one of them was Sadako, and that was in the Japanese version, but I cannot recall the English name.
Right, right. Yeah, I actually have no clue. It's been literally a long time. But it's huge news. It's a great grab for that studio. So they keep reinvigorating the game.
I'll be a good addition.
People coming. Yeah, absolutely. But hey, let's jump right into our main topic. Let's do this thing.
So
the Game Awards.
Yeah. Is this, now, before we dive into this, do you guys think this will be our last podcast before the new year? Or do you think we'll be able to squeeze one out before 2022 hits?
It really depends on the schedule.
Yeah.
I have time to shoot next week as well. And there is quite a bit of information that if we can't cover it in this one, that I would like to talk about and cover on the next one. But
yeah,
if everyone's going to be busy for the holidays, it can be just the one.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, Game Awards.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot that went on this Game Awards. There was a few surprises.
Yes, definitely a lot of surprises.
I actually have to say that this Game Awards was actually more entertaining to me than E3 was this year.
Oh my God. You just took the words right out of my mouth, Dove, and I was thinking that exact same thing.
Chris, what did you think about this year's Game of the Year Awards? Because normally, this is an affair that I generally skip over because I don't really care. But this one actually felt like an event to watch.
So, I agree that it was actually very, very good. What I didn't like was how long it was. It just felt like it went on for a really long time. I believe it got kind of late.
Yeah, it did, because the Game Awards itself was almost, 4 hours long?
Yeah, yeah, and it's just four, straight hours, no breaks. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I didn't like about it, too, was that they kind of jumbled up some of the awards. Like, they would combine categories, and, I don't know. I felt like it did a disservice to some of the games with the awards. Like, they could have done a better job with the award distribution, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's just me. I will say, though, I enjoyed the orchestra that they had performing.
Yeah, they did a really, really good job.
Like, that was really freaking cool that they had them just do, like, the video game music and stuff. I was like, oh, shit, this is kind of dope.
Yeah. Let's see here. I don't know who has the list up.
I got it right here, if you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go through these categories and go through the announcements, and then we're going to save the Game of the Year winner for last.
Sounds good to me.
To give you guys the format here for those listening. So the Game Awards 2021 did open up with, now I'm probably going to mispronounce this dude's name, Geoff or Jeff, I don't know, G-E-O-F-F.
Jeff
Keighley or Kylie, however you pronounce it. He did open up the awards by vaguely calling out Activision Blizzard. He didn't do it explicitly, but we kind of knew what he was going for. He called on everyone to build a better and safer video game industry by voting with their time and their wallets, or, you know, dollars. And even though he didn't explicitly call out Activision Blizzard, I do appreciate and respect that he did so, like, implicitly, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, by you not mentioning the elephant in the room,
People
change the fact that there's still an elephant with a name in the room.
Yes.
And so I think that with every other, like, major studio calling out Activision Blizzard, for the Video Game Awards to kind of like, well, you know, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. It was definitely weird. And the Video Game Awards, and Jeff specifically, was criticized for not saying names.
Okay, yeah, because the direct quote he said was, game creators need to be supported by the companies that employ them. I think we can all agree with that. We should not and will not tolerate any abuse, harassment, or predatory practice by anyone, including our online communities.
See, the problem is that if Activision Blizzard looks at that, they're like, oh, they're not talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. It'll be just like, oh, those Halo guys on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to dismiss that statement, and I appreciate him for saying it. However,
it's just, it could have been better.
At this point, everybody knows the story.
Yeah. But let's get into the awards. We spent too much time on Activision Blizzard as is. So let's start off with the award for Best Game Direction. Now, I do like the winner of this, personally. I'm glad it did win. But it was snatched up by the likes of Deathloop.
Now, were you guys surprised on this one? Because I know we all voted, and I personally did not vote for Deathloop in this category. Now, Best Game Direction, awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovative in game direction and design. For me, this is one where I saw Psychonauts 2 and Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart definitely going for the victory here. So to see it go to Deathloop, I was actually pretty taken aback on that one.
I
was surprised as well. Yeah. I voted for Psychonauts.
I think in this category, I voted for Psychonauts, but apparently we all lost.
Yeah. But yeah. For those that don't remember, you know, Deathloop was that first-person shooter about the assassin who's stuck on an island, and he's cursed to relive the same day over and over and over again. Kind of like a Groundhog Day, kind of like a Russian Doll, you know, on Netflix. Kind of like this anime called ReZero. So it's very interesting. You know, you start each cycle with, you know, gathering intel, investigate, and, you know, you uncover new weapons, abilities, and you try to escape this, you know, time loop. So it's definitely got an interesting concept. It's just I think we can agree that Psychonauts had a better direction overall.
Yeah, but let's move on. Congratulations to Deathloop.
Yes,
not
yes.
Taking anything from you, just not what we anticipated.
Yes. Next category, we have the best action and adventure game. And this went to Metroid Dread.
Yeah, this one was one where I'm kind of like, I was actually going to give this one to Resident Evil Village or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
To see Metroid Dread, which is Nintendo exclusive. It was definitely a surprise. This again was one where I was not anticipating it, even though I thought Metroid Dread was a fantastic game when it was announced. I just wasn't expecting this game, Metroid Dread, to get best action / adventure.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? Like, what are your thoughts on this category?
Yeah, I would have never voted for the Metroid Dread. I don't think I don't remember what I voted for. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I voted for Psychonauts here as well.
I think for this one, I voted for Resident Evil Village.
I think I voted for Resident Evil Village as well.
Yeah, just Metroid Dread, it's not for me. Nothing against it. I'm sure it's a great game. It's just, it's a style of game I don't like to play.
Yeah, I feel that. The next category won't come to a surprise to anybody. At least I'm not surprised, because I think we kind of called this in a previous podcast and what we thought would win. So this is the most anticipated game category.
This is the one Chris gets right every year.
Yep. And I did think this was going to win, and I did vote for it. And Chris, you want to tell us who won?
Oh, of course. It's so fucking funny. What is it even the name of it? It's even slipping my tongue right now.
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring. Yes. Sorry. I just got off work. So
you're so anticipated that you forgot. No.
This is the only category Chris gets right every year.
I know what gamers want.
Oh yeah. I mean, the game looks amazing. It's written by Tolkien, so it's going to have a compelling story and narrative. So I don't see anything else beating this in terms of anticipation.
No, absolutely not. And what we're seeing from, and this was written by the same guy who wrote the Game of Thrones series, Book of Fire and Ice.
Yep.
And it looks like it's going to be phenomenal, but this may be just something from my perspective. Every time I see it, the less excited I am for it.
Yeah. Oh, so I was mistaken. I said Tolkien and not George R. R. Martin. That was my mistake. Tolkien
has been dead for a very long time.
Yeah, my mistake. I am so sorry.
No, what happens to the best of us? Do not worry at all.
That I am truly a uninformed gamer.
And that's why we have
I just title. Choked on Elden Ring, so it's all right.
So sorry for those listening.
All right, what's our next category, Mason?
All right, we got, this will come no surprise to you, Devin. This is for best sports and racing game and innovation in accessibility.
Well, when I thought that it was interesting they put this category together.
Yeah, this is one of my complaints from the beginning, how they jumbled up categories.
Yeah, because this one obviously went to Forza Horizon 5, because it really didn't have any competition in the sports category. But after playing Forza Horizon 5, this is actually the game that I voted for in innovation and accessibility.
Yeah.
The reason I voted for it is because this was a game that actually allowed you, your character, to have prosthetics.
Yes, which is cool.
It allowed your character to be trans. It allowed so many different things, and I know they're working on a feature that is a a sign language feature.
Yeah.
So I really thought that the Playground Games studio team did a fantastic job hitting this game out of the park. And this one was a no-brainer for me. This one was like easy victory.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like Chris, I mean, do you agree with that sentiment?
Oh yeah, big time. There is no competition in the racing category.
Mm-hmm.
Can't speak for accessibility because I didn't really look at it, but like, unfortunately, it threw the two categories together. So
And in this next category, if I could see the percentages of like how much something won by, I would be interested to see this next one, because I personally think it was a blowout in terms of a victory. And I'm, of course, referring to the best ongoing game and best community support. So, and I personally...
This would be a blowout. I agree.
I think this is a blowout. It went to Final Fantasy 14 Online.
For both categories, yes.
Yeah, and if I could see the percentages, I guarantee you this won by, like, leaps and bounds.
See, I feel like that would not necessarily be the case. I feel like it definitely won handily, but I do feel like No Man's Sky is still on a lot of people's list of here's what you can do when you take a game that was virtually bad from all accounts and you constantly keep releasing updates, you constantly keep the community engaged, you constantly get people what they want. The game from No Man's Sky from when it was originally released to the game you see now, an entirely different game. Final Fantasy, I wouldn't say it's an entirely different game. I would say there's been gradual improvements. I don't think it's made nearly as big as a shift as No Man's Sky has.
I can understand that.
Even though I voted for Final Fantasy on this category.
Oh, did you?
I was just like, yeah, this one's an obvious one.
But yeah.
No Man's Sky definitely deserves the nod because they've done a fantastic job.
Yeah, it definitely deserves like an honorable mention.
All right, what's our next category?
So this we actually have Best Narrative, and I was kind of shocked at what won because I didn't vote for the winner of this category, which is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
If there was any category I disagreed with, it was this one.
So, all right.
What were the nominations for this again?
I can tell you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. It was Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, True Colors, and Psychonauts 2, and then, of course, Marvel's Guardians of the
Galaxy. Huh. I'm surprised this one.
A buddy of mine has played Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and he said the writing in it was absolutely some of the best writing he's seen. He said it was incredibly funny.
Huh.
And I think they really caught the gamers in the funny. And so they just voted for it. So that's probably why it won.
Is it your friend Dana? Because I have to question his choices automatically.
It is not. It is not.
See, but for me, the reason why this one was kind of like a weird one for me is because when I think of narrative, I truly think the Life is Strange series.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I play that, like the narrative arc on those games are just so well drawn, so well thought out, so personal, having a personal connection. So I was just like, all right, it's going to be Life is Strange, 100% Life is Strange. But to see Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, well, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I definitely was not expecting it either.
Though they're both published by Square Enix, it's still kind of a surprise that Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy won out. But congratulations to Marvel. Congratulations to the Eidos Montreal studio. And continue the good narrative work.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely a good feather in the cap for Square Enix having, you know, back-to-back awards being allotted to them.
Oh, absolutely. What's our next category, Mason?
So this one comes no surprise to me because of how much of a quote-unquote impact this has on mobile gaming itself. We have the best mobile game in Genshin Impact.
Now, this one was interesting because some people felt that they said the name wrong.
Didn't they say Genshin?
Yeah, they said Genshin Impact.
Ah.
And I was just like, oh, here we go.
Oh, boy. There you go. No, but I'm not surprised with this for best mobile game because like Genshin Impact is like insanely popular.
See, just because I don't do mobile gaming all that much, it came for me down to name recognition, and Genshin Impact was literally the number, like that was Genshin and Pokemon were the two top two, but I was, like, I've heard more about Impact than Pokemon Unite.
Yeah, same. And honestly, I've played both games. I enjoy Pokemon Unite, but Genshin Impact is just a better game. It's just so well done. And it's what I like most about it is it is non-predatory with its monetization.
That's wonderful. That's like, how free play should be done.
Like you can be highly competitive in the game without even spending any money, which is fantastic.
All right, so what's our next category?
The next category is best multiplayer. And this actually got taken by It Takes Two.
That one was not that much of a surprise because It Takes Two is a multiplayer game.
Like, yes.
I don't think you can play it by yourself.
And I think, Chris, you're the only one out of us that has played this and beaten it, correct?
Correct. It was very good. It was a great game. I would put like a caveat on like multiplayer. Like, I don't know. I would consider more of a co-op game than like, I know it's like you're playing with multiple people. Like,
yeah,
I get it, but it's more, it's a co-op experience game.
Yeah. Like when I think co-op or not, excuse me, when I think of multiplayer, I think of like Super Smash Brothers or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't even remember what I voted for. I was trying to see what, oh, here it is. I'm pretty sure I voted Back for Blood for this one.
Oh, this okay. See, that's a multiplayer game.
Exactly. Yeah. And like even that, it's got the multiplayer, it's got the co-op, so it has both levels.
Mm-hmm.
But It Takes Two is more of a co-op game to me. And then you have Knockout City, that's completely multiplayer. It was a great game. New World multiplayer, I would totally consider it that. Monster Hunter Rise, it's co-op. I wouldn't even put it in this category. And then Valheim, I would probably leave that one. That one's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, there was just two of these games. The one that won and another one I would never even put in this category.
Interesting. And then the next category we have something that I was kind of unfamiliar with. It was Content Creator of the Year. I think this was for like maybe YouTube or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't recognize a single one of these names.
Yeah, I didn't even vote for this category.
No clue.
Because it's like, and since technically we were content creators, but at the same time, there are so many content creators out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never heard of him.
I've never heard of this guy either, nor did I bother Googling him after the victory.
Neither did I. His name's Dream.
Well, now I'm going to Google Dream.
Yeah, and you'll get lots of other things.
Yeah, lots of results.
No. Type in on Google, Dream Content Creator, and the first thing that comes up is that he is younger than they are younger than me. All right, cool, love that. He's probably known for creating Minecraft content.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh,
so there's a Minecrafter.
No, thanks. I would have never. No.
Yeah, I'm not into Minecraft, so.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Well, that's a bit of a dud of a category.
Congratulations to Dream. We wish you the best in your continued Minecraft building endeavors.
Yes. But the next category, we have the best score and music coming in the form of Nier Replicant.
I didn't play it.
I didn't play this one either.
I did not play it either, but I have played Nier Automata, or I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And the music in that video game is amazing. So if this game has any similar music like that, I can see how it won.
Yeah.
Because we have to do our obligatory cyberpunk reference, Cyberpunk was also narrated or nominated in this category.
That's
who I voted for.
That is exactly who I voted for as well.
Well, I mean, say what you will about Cyberpunk, it has some damn good music.
Enough to be nominated.
It does. Yep. And for our next category, we have Best Role-Playing Game, and that was taken by a video game that Chris is playing, Tales of Arise.
Yeah, I can totally see it taking that award. It's very good.
For the best game design with rich player character customization and progress, including massively multiplayer experiences. But that's interesting because Cyberpunk is featured in this category and it doesn't have multiplayer.
Wait, what category?
In the best role-playing. Like, if you look at what defines the best role-playing category, it's for the best game design with rich player character customization and progress, including massively multiplayer experiences.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have any of that.
Does Tales of Arise have multiplayer?
No, single player.
Interesting. I don't know why they would put that in there.
Yeah, that's a weird note.
That's a weird thing to include.
Yeah. Well, the video game awards aren't perfect.
No. Nah. No, they're not. In the next category, we have Best Art Direction going to Deathloop.
This one I could have seen. I didn't vote for Deathloop in this category. I actually voted for Kena: Bridge of Spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely could have seen Deathloop being included.
Yeah, it did have a good art direction towards it, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what I voted for, but it wasn't Deathloop. But no, I could totally see it.
Yeah, this one was kind of like, yeah, this one we kind of can all kind of agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Best Action Game with Returnal.
Yeah, that could fit. They had a pretty good launch, and they did really well with their game style. So I'm comfortable giving them that.
What about you, Devin? Do you think?
It's when I saw that it was Returnal, I was like, because I don't have a PlayStation, so I've actually never played it. But I actually have sat on YouTube and watched people play it from beginning to end.
Yeah,
and I am just like, this does not seem like a game that I would want to actually play.
It's hard. It looks really hard.
I never really looked into it, so I don't really have a good comment for it.
Like, I totally voted Back for Blood for this category, but it is a very action packed game that will defeat you. I've seen people on Twitter just say, I just give up.
Oh, gosh.
It's one of those games. So for that, they've accomplished their goal.
Best action game. I think I either voted for Back for Blood or Far Cry 6. I don't necessarily agree with Returnal, but I can't take it away. It's definitely an action game. Don't get that part twisted. I just don't see it.
Yeah. And then the next category is one that I can resonate with on a spiritual level. It is best performance, and I 100% agree with this in terms of who wins. I don't know about you guys, but I agree with this wholeheartedly. Maggie Robertson as Lady Demestru in Resident Evil 7.
100%
for her. Or 8, excuse me.
It came down, Resident Evil Village. It came down to Maggie or Giancarlo Esposito for Far Cry 6. And when Maggie was announced, I was just like, yep, that is obvious. Never have we seen especially a female character in the video game industry, basically take the entire world by storm as much as Lady Dimitrescu has done.
Oh, yeah. When that trailer dropped teasing Resident Evil Village and they showed her, the fucking internet went bonkers.
The internet did internet things.
Yeah.
It was very horny that day.
Yes. Yeah. And the character is very sexual, but Maggie did a phenomenal job at bringing this this woman to life.
Yeah. She did a fantastic job. She wasn't my vote, but
who was
she
your vote?
Did a very, very good job. Giancarlo.
Of course. I just love Giancarlo because he is such a good villain.
Oh, he's a fantastic villain. I love him in Breaking Bad.
And The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he was my hands-down vote, but I also didn't play Resident Evil, so...
Yeah, I didn't either.
I can only see it through
clips. I watched Resident Evil being played, and I was like, this is actually an entertaining game, but that I do not want to play.
Yeah, it looks hard. I'm really terrible
at war games. No, but congratulations to Maggie for winning for best performance. You definitely earned it.
Absolutely. Job well done.
Then we have Best Indie and Best Debut for a Indie Game in Kena Bridge of Spirits.
No surprise there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's pretty good. Very good.
I personally haven't played it, but I've heard just phenomenal things about it.
As much as I enjoy 12 Minutes, I didn't love 12 Minutes.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted to.
What were the other indies?
So it was 12 Minutes, Death's Door, Inscription, and Loop Hero.
Okay. I have a feeling it was down to Kena and Death's Door, if I had to guess.
Yeah, probably. I wish they gave the percentages on this.
Yeah, I really am curious at the percentages, too.
All right, what's our next category?
Best Audio Design with Forza Horizon 5.
No, I think that this is a really subjective one.
Yeah, I agree, too, because anything dealing with sound or soundtrack, it is very subjective.
I agree with that.
With playing Forza Horizon, I do appreciate how when you're building or designing a car or whatever, the sound of your car can change just by the little tiny things. And there's literally hundreds of cars, and they all kind of sound different. Hell, they have electric cars, and each electric car sounds different. So when it said Forza Horizon 5 was like the winner for best audio design, I was like, oh, sweet, yeah. But if they would have given it to literally anybody else, I would have been like, yeah, I can see that.
this is up for grabs award.
It's up for grabs.
Oh, yeah. Category. Like 100%.
Put your name in a hat. Nobody voted in this category.
And the last couple of categories are ones that I personally like don't really care about. I'm going to be real because I didn't really pay too much attention to esports this year. But I can certainly go through them.
Yeah, everybody their due.
Yeah, so we've got best esports athlete, Oleksandr, or he goes by the moniker Simple, Kostilev. I think he is Russian, if I'm not mistaken. That does sound like a Russian name. It is Ukrainian. Excuse me. Wow. I was close.
You were close, but they would be very mad at you.
Yes, they would be extremely upset at
yeah.
Because Ukrainians and Russians are not the same.
No, they're always at each other's throats.
Oh, yeah. But he plays for the team, for Counter-Strike, known as Natus Vincere, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yep, not a clue. Never heard of them.
But they are a Counter-Strike esports team, so there you go. Congratulations. And surprise, surprise, the best esports team is Natus Vincere.
Woo.
For Counter-Strike. Then we have best esports coach going to Kim Koma Jeongjun. He is the coach for DWG Kia in League of Legends. They are a professional South Korean League of Legends team that were in the championships. And he's been with the team since 2012.
All right. Well deserved. But I do appreciate how the esports arena, as well as these creators, are getting like recognition.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like the last category and award went to best esports event. And no surprise here, the 2021 League of Legends World Championship.
Of course.
Like,
without a doubt.
Like, as much as I dislike the game, they do put on a damn good show.
Yeah. If they didn't ruin their game, their show is top tier.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, it's like Super Bowl quality.
Yeah, it really is. With all the music, the announcers, like, it's insane.
Yeah, like, it is, like, whoever does do the events and, like, the planning of them, they're just... No, top tier.
I think there was one we missed. I don't know if you said it. So you did say best indie.
Yes.
But there was also best debut indie.
Oh, okay. I did miss that then.
So that went to Kena, Bridge of Spirits as well. But I felt like there was one game that got snubbed in this.
Okay.
It should have been there instead of Kenna. And that would be Forgotten City. That was seriously.
Oh yeah. That definitely got snubbed.
It definitely got snubbed.
Then I think there was one other one that I missed. It was like Games for Impact.
Okay. Yeah.
That went to Life is Strange.
You actually missed another category, Mason. You missed quite a bit.
Shit.
Yeah, because you missed Best Sim/Strategy Game.
Okay.
And that one went to Age of Empires 4, beating out Microsoft Flight Simulator, Evil Genius 2 World Domination, Humankind, and Inscription. I think this
should be. You know, I'm actually surprised.
I'm surprised.
I guess Age of Empires caters to a larger audience.
Yeah, it does. Flight
Sim, and that's probably why it won, because in the end of the day, we end up voting for these. But I'm pretty sure I voted for Flight Sim, because you can't match that level of detail.
No,
in like a simulator, like it was insane.
I feel like if I played Microsoft Flight Simulator and I actually legitimately try to fly a plane, I feel like I could go out into the real world and fly a plane. If I played Age of Empires 4, I can't be president. No matter what any politician may believe. But then there was the category we talked about previously, and that went to the player's voice. And this is one where everybody kind of got an opportunity to decide which is the best game for players. And that went to the legendary Halo Infinite before it was even out.
Nice.
Insane. The players spoke up. They're like, all right, since you're not putting us in Game of the Year, let's give it this award.
It's like, if you ain't going to give it to us, we're going to give it to us.
Exactly.
And there are a few other categories, like best fighting game. That went to Guilty Gear Strive.
Sorry. I'm not surprised.
No, I'm not. Even though I voted for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
I did too.
You really? Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two votes.
Hey, Garfield's coming to the game.
That's fucking right.
First DLC is going to be Garfield, not Lasagna.
Hey, and guess what? All the DLC that the Nickelodeon All-Stars is getting is free.
Oh, shit. For all four people who bought the game. But then there was another category, which is it's the best VR AR game, and it went to Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
I have never played VR, and I think that might be my thing, but it just does not seem like Resident Evil 4 would be the game I want to start with.
Mm.
Like, I played Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube, and I was like, okay, this is a legitimately good game. But if I were to go back and play it now in VR, I don't feel like I'd have the same expectations.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be missing a lot.
That one had co-op, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember that one. It was on 360, maybe?
You might be thinking Resident Evil 5.
Okay. Yeah,
Resident Evil 4 is where the guy punches the rock. Not like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
That's a bowler.
Right. Because who could actually punch the rock?
Yeah.
Nobody, baby.
But then the final category went to Game of the Year, and the nominees for this was It Takes Two, Deathloop, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, and the Resident Evil Village. And I think this was the category I was the most surprised by.
Yeah, I was not expecting the winner of this at all. Like, I was actually shocked.
And so,
Chris, go ahead.
I was surprised, but like I said previously, I was surprised that it was a nominee on this list. And I was like, not because it was bad or anything. I thought it was a 10 out of 10 game. Like, nothing against that developer at all. Like, it was a fantastic game. I'm just surprised everyone thought like the same thing, you know? Like, when they looked at it versus all these other games. I still believe in the heart of hearts that Psychonauts 2 should have gotten this title, but unfortunately it didn't. And this is still like again, I've played this game, and I'll just say it right now. It Takes Two won this title.
It takes two victories home.
Yeah, it does indeed. Two big victories
too. And so I mean, it was a damn good game. Like the level design, the co-op, it just, it like took over the world, and I'll give it mad props for that.
But I think the problem is when we say game of the year, out of all the games, It Takes Two as being the best one, and I just wholeheartedly disagree.
Oh yeah, I mean, I do disagree with it actually like winning, but out of those categories of games, I'm okay with it winning. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, overall, with all the games that did end up being released and getting snubbed for the Game Awards, I feel like, you know, we were dealt a bit of a disservice.
Accurate. I feel like Forza Horizon should have been nominated in this category, but it
wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, that totally should have been there.
I agree.
But for those who actually watched the Video Game Awards, and when It Takes Two was announced as Game of the Year, and Joseph Ferris was accepting the award, did anyone else think that he was about to swear?
I did.
So,
that man was hype.
He was hyped.
So what's funny about that is I didn't know this man went on like a drunken rampage with the mic the one year. Like my buddy sent me the video. Yes. He was like, I was like, who is this guy? What are you talking about? Because he sent me his name. I was like, I don't even know who that is. And then he showed me him accepting like the mic and an award at the Game Awards. And that man is insane.
the host, Jeff, he actually kind of hinted at it. He was just like, yeah, I'm keeping the mic away from Joseph this year.
Nice.
Because he went on that... He went on that big old rant about the Emmys or something.
Yeah. just a strange guy. Because yeah. When you think about It Takes Two, this is not the guy you've expected. You expect some librarian with glasses. Like, right. This guy should be Psychonauts.
Right. But Tim of Legend is Psychonauts. That man is a genius.
Yes.
He's got an incredible vision. I don't know if he's on acid when he made
that.
I'm not really sure what's going on there, but his imagination is unmatched.
Maybe we should do an episode of the podcast where we all do acid and we just try to come up with a video game idea.
Absolutely not.
I will. I will pass on that.
I guess it'll just be me.
The last time I tried acid was like 12 or 13 years ago, and I will never do it again.
I have never tried or done acid.
Never tried, never done.
Not, I would not recommend.
Well, Chef does not recommend. But during the Video Game Awards, it wasn't just an awards show.
No, there's a lot of announcements.
A lot of legitimately good announcements.
And some freaking cool-ass trailers.
Now, all right, so I am going to be the first one to say that the trailer that I guess stuck out the most for me, or the thing that I was most excited watching, was Hellblade 2 Senua's Saga. That like 6 to 8 minute gameplay was epic.
That was insane. The sheer level of detail, graphics, resolution, and for it to literally be the game. Like the entire time, it wasn't a trailer. It was literally gameplay entire time.
And you can
see that studio has talent.
That's the absolutely, because you can actually see when the character, like when you're actually supposed to be playing. Like you can actually see, okay, this is not a quick cut scene. This is you actually doing all of this.
Now this is the sequel to the first Hellblade, correct?
Yes, and the original Hellblade is on Microsoft Game Pass right now. If you wish to play it.
I have played and beat that game. It is fantastic.
I think I'm gonna.
It's hard.
Yeah,
but it is very good.
And this is by Ninja Theory.
Yep.
Yeah. There it is,
developer. Ninja I Theory. Love Ninja Theory.
They're very talented.
Very good studio.
Fantastic. I am stoked for that game. I'm gonna have a struggle beating it. Of course.
Yeah. But it is a very pretty game.
Yeah, it's got. I don't like. Have either of you played it yet?
I have not played it, but I'm putting it on my list for my backlog.
Same.
It's like a 6 to 8 hour game. It's perfect. Very short.
Oh.
Yeah, it is not a long game. But the puzzles, they're like mind melting. How you have to like look at something to get it to do the puzzle thing, unlock the puzzle. Like this game had such detail, and it was cool about it. It went into like it was about a mental illness that the main character was
going
through, and so I throw mad props at them for their direction with that series and being able to play through and see what, from someone else's point of view, like how life with that illness would be like. So I genuinely enjoyed that game. It was very, very good.
Now, was that the trailer that stuck out to you the most, Chris?
There's actually two for me.
Okay. What are yours?
Sonic Frontier, baby.
Yes! Yes! I was hoping you'd say that.
This is where I leave the chat.
No, don't leave us.
Join us.
No, I was so hyped for Sonic Frontiers and the new Sonic movie trailer.
Yes.
But, like, both of those things were fucking hype as shit. Like, when they revealed Knuckles in the movie trailer, I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and this Sonic Frontier game, it looks like straight fire. Like, it's like a Breath of the Wild clone in a way. Very
first open world.
So, real quick tangent on that.
Okay.
I don't know where this this Breath of the Wild thing came from. Like, it always comes up, and I'm just like, Breath of the Wild wasn't the first like open world
game. No, it wasn't.
They're like, Grand Theft Auto 3 is a lot like Breath of the Wild.
No, it's just a lot of games are using things from Breath of the Wild for their open world games. Like the new Pokemon game, Legend of Arceus, is borrowing elements from it.
Oh, that's really cool.
And same with like Genshin Impact. Like, they borrow elements. And now with this Sonic Frontiers, you know, since it's open world and it's very like nature-esque, people got like a, you know, Breath of the Wild vibe. So they're just like, oh, this is Breath of the Wild inspired.
Yeah.
But no, it looks pretty. I do hope that this game breaks the Sonic the Hedgehog curse when it comes to video games.
And that's why I'm not excited.
Me too. I actually heard it was either Generations or Colors, whatever it was. I actually heard it was a decent game.
Yeah, that one was good. And then the one before that, Sonic Mania, was good.
Sonic Colors.
Have to play them.
Sonic Colors was in 2010, Chris. That was 11 years ago.
Well, it's still a Sonic game.
Yeah, but Sonic is such an inconsistent brand.
It is. Like, it is no joke that, you know, they are, you know, kind of cursed.
They are. It's a brand that's meant to, okay, they're going to announce that it's going to be this amazing, this great, it's super exciting thing. And then you play and you're just like, wow, this is not at all what I wanted.
I guess it's kind of just like, it's one of those games that it has a hard time because of how it released, like what type of gameplay it was. It was
like
2D platformer. And then they tried to like do 3D things with it, and then it just never really got an identity. And I really think it's a game that struggles from an identity crisis.
I can see that.
I agree, because when you have like, because it did try different things with the game itself. Like, you had a game where like Shadow the Hedgehog had guns.
Okay.
And then you had a game where Sonic literally turned into like a werewolf.
Silly.
Then you had a game where Sonic the Hedgehog fell in love with a human.
Yep, that's nothing wrong with that at all. I
don't even remember any of these.
Trust me, man. You do not want me to open up this can of worms because it will take a while.
My favorite one, real quick. My favorite one, it was one where, you know, those little like... those little baby creature things.
Yeah, the chows. Exactly
which game you're talking about.
Chows. You had like this little chow farm thing.
Yep.
That was my favorite one by far.
Yeah, Sonic Adventure Battle.
Yes, there it is. That one was, that was Sonic done perfect.
Yeah, though Sonic Adventure Battle 1 and 2 are regarded by the fans, and as well as myself, as the best in terms of Sonic games.
Same. Yes. Big agree. Like, that's the last one I remember having mm-hmm. a fantastic time playing. And they really need to think about what was so good about that game and try and take that strategy and morph it into something.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Frontiers has something that like really catches us and gets that franchise back on track.
A chow farm? The...
What? A chow farm?
Oh, geez.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll take it. The chow farm was awesome.
But the trailers that kind of spoke to me and stuck out to me, the first was the kind of Unreal demo for The Matrix. That was really cool.
Now,
ooh, did you play it?
I played. No, I did not. It's awesome. I wanted to.
It's so cool.
It's really cool.
But that really impressed me. And then the obviously Sonic impressed me. And then I really actually enjoyed the Star Wars bit, looking at Quantic Dream.
Now, the Star Wars thing is on my list as top trailer, because when I saw that it was Quantic Dream as the developer, I was like, this game is going to be a 10 out of 10, no hands down. It's going to be mm-hmm. Sony exclusive. And it just, I have never been more excited for a game.
Yeah. Yeah, is it in fact Sony exclusive?
Quantum Dreams only makes games for Sony. In the past, I don't see that changing with this. And I just recently just checked into the studio. This game, this Star Wars Eclipse, is not going to be anywhere. It's they're saying 3 to 4 years before we can expect a release date.
2024 or 2025.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they said they're actually hiring someone who can actually help them finish this project.
Yeah, I as you guys know, I do not enjoy the original like Star Wars series, but
you don't.
I do love the universe that they created, and like a lot of the spin-off stuff for me is really good. Like The Mandalorian, for example, is very, very well done, and Rogue One as well.
Rogue One was awesome.
So for me, I would love to play that game because I have a feeling it's going to be top tier.
Oh, guaranteed. Like I hate that I have to wait so long to get my hands on this, because I do love everything Quantic Dreams puts out. This, I think, really blew me away in regard.
Oh yeah, it looked amazing,
hands down. But I had a couple different trailers that you guys have not already mentioned. First being one that I did not see this coming, but like it had so much charm. So much passion, so much love in it.
All right.
Have a Nice Death is going to be my favorite game.
What's it called?
Have a Nice Death with a little tiny Grim Reaper.
Oh.
Developer is Perfect World.
Okay, yeah. I forgot about that.
Right? It was like my little smash hit, because I'm just like, I don't even know what this is, but I want to know everything about it. I want to play. I want to get a little Grim Reaper tattoo. It looks like it's going to be so much fun.
Well, very cool.
So there was that. There was the obvious one for me. Alan Wake 2 was finally announced.
Yes, I forgot. That was my third favorite that got announced.
Because this is a, 16, 17-year wait?
Something like that.
It's been
a long time.
I don't know what we waited longer for, Alan Wake 2 or Kingdom Hearts 3, but I'm super excited that Remedy is going to be back developing it. It's not going to be utilizing the Unreal Engine 5 engine that was recently we saw in The Matrix. It's going to be actually utilizing the same engine that Control was utilizing. So I'm still happy about it. It's going to be a survival horror game, and that's going to be amazing. Two more from me, obviously Lord of the Rings Golem. I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy, but this game looked kind of fun, even though we didn't see much. Just the little charm of Golem. And then the final game that really stuck out for me as an instant hit is a game I know very little about, but everybody else does, especially Henry Cavill, Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2.
Nice.
This was like Aliens meets Gears of War.
That sounds amazing.
That's exactly
what. And I did not know until recently, you know, I think, Chris, you pointed it out, that Henry Cavill is a Warhammer fan.
Huge fan. Super fan.
Like, I knew he was into D&D and stuff and a lot of medieval shit. I didn't know about the Warhammer.
Before we call it, I have to talk about Henry Cavill for a split second. Henry Cavill wants to play everything.
Yes.
He's like, oh, if Mass Effect has a good script, I'll be interested in doing that. Oh, if they want to make a Warhammer movie, I'll be interested in doing that. I'm definitely doing The Witcher, but if they make a Warhammer, or if they make a, there was another one that he said that he'd be also interested in doing. I am like, is Henry Cavill going to be the new video game guy? Is that who he's going to be?
Hey, I mean, I if so. It makes him happy, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I'd rather have him than Chris Pratt.
Yep. I mean, Chris Pratt is now the voice of Mario and Garfield.
And on that bombshell, let's go ahead and end the show. as always, I am one of your hosts, Darkness Tiger. You can find me at the top of the Forza Motorsport leaderboards or at the bottom of the Halo leaderboards. You can also find me controlling the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. If you like what we do, be sure to give us a like and a subscribe. If you don't like what we do, be sure to send iChameleon a message directly to his house.
Sure.
Yeah, write him a letter.
Write him a letter and attach it to a brick and throw it through his window.
Yep. He'll appreciate it.
All right. I don't got any windows. Joke's on them.
All right, Chris. Yeah. Your
son. Yeah, I am iChameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games, KAMELION Games, or on Twitch at twitch.tv/iChameleon.
And I've been Rad Dreams with Rad Dreams Review. You can always find me on my YouTube channel, Rad Dreams Review. You can always find me on Twitch, Rad_Dreams, as well as Twitter, same handle, Rad_Dreams. And as always, guys, it has been an absolute pleasure recording with you today.
Yeah, it's always a good time, boys.
All right, guys, we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Later.
Peace.